Good morning, church family. How are we? I don't know about you, but thank you, worship team. I could feel the Holy Spirit heavily in this place. I don't know about you, but speaking about fathers is where we're at today. And all of this text that we've been leading up to in Colossians, he brings us to a point where we're talking about parenting and fathers and the impact that they have in our walk with the Lord. I have been rewriting this sermon for 4 days. Even while I'm sitting there rewriting. So y'all are going to get an unedited version here. But we've been going through this text in Colossians. And Paul has been speaking about the new person we are in Christ. He's been talking about who we are and how Christ transforms us. How Christ makes us into something new, and we are to put off the old self and take on the new. And so in that, then he moved into three relationships. One of wives and husbands, and how it is a radical new relationship in Christ than what the world is used to seeing. We spent 3 weeks on that. This week we're going to get into the relationship of sons and fathers and really focusing on heavily on the father. Next week we're going to look at the relationship of bondservants and masters. And each one of these relationships, each one of them is a picture of how we are with our God. They are a shadow, a resemblance. And there's nothing that we see more, no term that is used more to describe our God than Father. Father. Over and over again, Christ said, I came to do the Father's will. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you know me, you know the Father because I am a reflection of the Father. I am all about the Father. I and the Father are one. Fatherhood is so important. I asked about, I'd say we're looking around 15 folks from our church this week. How has your earthly father positively or negatively influenced your view of God the Father? And I heard all kinds of responses. From, my earthly father was amazing. He was my hero. He was awesome. I trusted him. He was just an amazing man. To, I never knew my father. Never met him. Never knew him. He was absent in my life, and it makes it hard for me to understand God that way because I don't know what that fatherly relationship feels like. I heard about alcoholism and abuse. Heard about fathers being champions of the homes and fathers failing in the homes. And forever how much when we talk about earthly fathers, every father, every man, and every woman, even as a parent or a mother, all of us fall short of how amazing our Heavenly Father is. Every good earthly father falls short of the glory and the majesty and the amazing great love of our Heavenly Father. That's why we sing. Because we've never encountered anything like our Heavenly Father. But yet, we are called to reflect him. We are called to reveal him. In the same time, as men, we are called to be fathers. We're also first children. We need to know what it means to be the children of God. To be under the Father. To know him as Father. Because if we don't know him as Father, how can we reflect him in our fathering? How can we reflect him in our community? Whether you're a father, a grandfather, a spiritual parent where you've adopted somebody in Christ and are leading them, we all need to understand the relationship we have as the children of God with our Heavenly Father. So our passage today is Colossians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. I want to read this to you, and just I'm going to pray. Paul says here in Colossians 3:20, verse 21, he says, "Children, Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. And fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. This is the word of God for the people of God. Would you pray with me? Lord, I thank you so much for your word. We're going to unpack this a little bit here this morning and try to wrestle with it. But Lord, as we've already said in our worship, and we want to say again in our prayers, Lord, that we need to know you as Father. For you are good. Your love is so greater than any love we can understand. So speak to us. Help those who are fathers and grandfathers and spiritual parents to grow. But Lord, heal wounds in all of us. Where our earthly fathers have failed us, you have never failed us. May we see that more today. May we grow in that you have not failed where earthly parents have failed. And your success is so much greater than any earthly parent's success. May we know you, Lord. May we be transformed by you today. Holy Spirit, speak through me today. Have your way with us today. Because we want to be your people today. We want to encounter you today. We just want to have an experience. We want to be transformed by you today. So transform me as a father. Transform every father, every grandfather, every person here. Transform every child here so that we might know you and reflect you. We ask that you speak this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. So I want to start out like I've already been doing here. And I believe all human fathers are to be parenting patterning their fatherhood as Christ is our role model, as God is our role model. We've already said and already mentioned here that our earthly fathers, even the most evil of earthly fathers, still can do something good. And yet how much greater our Heavenly Father is. In Matthew 7, Jesus speaking to his own disciples, Matthew 7:11, he says to them, if you, then, who are evil, he calls his own disciples evil, and everyone in the crowd evil. If you, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask of him? Here Jesus makes the comparison. He's not coming out and saying, okay, here's a list of all of you who are so abusive and all these things. We can all look and go, yeah, I know who the bad fathers are. But in comparison to how great the love of the Father is, how great of the gift is, it's nothing, not even close to comparison of what we can do, what we give compared to what he can give. He has given us his Son. He has given us eternal life. He has given us all the great love that exists because he is love. And he's given us access to love. He's given us permission to come into the throne room of God. He's taken us who are sinners and defiled and broken and evil in heart and said, you know what? I'm going to make you into something new. No earthly father can do that. But we can reflect that. He has done something great. And in comparison to all that he has done for us, even those who are evil, sinners, who know how to give good gifts, Jesus says, I want you to focus that your role model on fathering and parenting and just being a relationship is all about the good gift of the Father. He's all about making much of the Father. So I want to start out just focusing our minds on the fatherhood of God. And I also want to point on this, and I've already kind of hit on it, that no matter where our earthly fathers have succeeded in our lives or failed in our lives, no matter where you as a father have succeeded as a father or failed as a father, Christ is greater. And he is greater for you. He is greater for you. Fill in the for you blank. Fill in where God is the greater Father for you. Where your earthly father failed you, Christ is greater than where he failed you. And he is nothing like where your earthly father has failed you. And where your earthly father has been loving and caring and great and awesome in your life, your heavenly father is greater. You've only had a sampling, a small tasting of how awesome the love of the Father is. And where you may have failed as a father, and believe me, I sometimes look and go, and my successes and failures as a parent, I have more failures than I have wins, but the wins do start adding up. But even then, where I fail as a father, I can trust that my heavenly Father is greater to my children than I ever could be. Is more loving to my children than I ever can imagine. He loves them more, more, more than I ever could. We all need to hear that this morning. Because God offers us his fatherhood. He offers us his fatherhood to anyone who will accept his gift of adoption by trusting in Christ and yielding to being led by him. Hear this. All our earthly fathers at some point fall short. This is why we look. This is why we look to Christ, who is the reflection of the Father to us. We all need to know him. That's why there's a command to follow him and obey him. Our heavenly Father loves us greater. And earthly fathers, we are to reflect our heavenly Father to our children, to our grandchildren, to our nieces, our nephews, our neighbors who have no fathers, to a community in a world that is fatherless. It's one of the fastest growing problems in the American culture right now is the fatherless homes. It's about 40% of the general population grows up not having their father in their home. In certain demographics in our country, it's even greater, around 70%. So you may have fathered your kids, you may have raised them, but you never stop being their parent. And there are plenty of other young men and young women who need spiritual fathers in their lives. They need it. So we need to learn about it. So in our section today here in Colossians chapter 3, verse 20 through 21, Paul comes at this and he actually uses the language. He starts out in verse 21 and he says two almost negatives to imply some positives. In Colossians 3:21, he says, "Fathers, fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged." So I want to hear this. As I speak to fatherhood and what fathers need to learn in and grow in and mirror the Lord, all of us can hear and go, my Heavenly Father, what is positive I'm learning is this to me. And pray for those who are called to that responsibility of fatherhood, that this will be true of them. He says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged." So I'm going to take the second part of that first. Lest they become discouraged. Discouraged. It's not a fun word. It implies losing heart, being listless, spiritless, disinterested, kind of a blank resignation toward life. The mindset of, I give up. The mindset of, life is hopeless. The mindset of, this is meaningless. Don't be the kind of father who rears children with that heart and mind, who have no hope for anything. Don't raise grandchildren, spiritual children, in that direction. Instead, our goal is to lead our children, lead our grandchildren, lead our spiritual children in the church in the opposite direction of discouragement. Every father has a task of reflecting the Heavenly Father to their children. So the opposite of discouragement is encouragement. The opposite of being discouraged is being hopeful, of being happy and filled with love and care, of being confident and courageous, because when you're discouraged, you're not courageous. You don't have purpose. When you're discouraged, you don't feel loved. There's no joy in Mudville. You have no hope. I've been a San Diego Chargers fan my whole life. This is a year we're really encouraged and hopeful. Football season starts and the countdown is going. College started, but the NFL starts here in a few days. I'm really jazzed. This is my favorite season. It's not summer, spring, fall, it's football. And it is always a hope-building and a tear-creating experience being a Chargers fan, because they always fall short of what they can be. And many times my wife goes, "How come you cheer for them? They still keep losing." I'm like, "I'm hopeful. There's going to be the year. Everybody keeps talking, this is the year. We'll see." But there's many a times, as fathers and as parents, how easily we can cause our children to be discouraged, to not have hope, not feeling loved, to not having confidence and courage. But what Paul is referencing here is not just a good statement that any person can think about fatherhood. Because those are things that any wise human being, whether they know Christ or don't know Christ, can embrace as those are good. That's good wisdom. You would hear Dr. Phil saying that on TV. You would hear Oprah saying this when she used to have a TV program. You would hear any wise counselor talking about these things. Paul's not giving earthly wisdom here. He's giving this wisdom in the context of the new identity that we are to have in Christ. That the encouragement that we are to be embedding into people and raising people and inspiring and hope-filled and joy-filled is in the new person in Christ. Is in the new identity in Christ. We can't just take these two verses by themselves. We have to read them in their context. So in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, look what Paul says to them, speaking about raising up. He says, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth." Set your mind as a parent on helping your children reflect Christ. The joy, the direction, and the pointing of children is on the gospel truth. To be a Christ reflection parent is encouraging them to know the gospel, to be raised in the gospel, to set their minds on the truth of the gospel, which means we have to help people see you are a sinner. Child, I don't have to teach you how to be bad. I have to teach you how to be good, because you are naturally what? A sinner. I've never had to teach my children how to sin. They do it instinctively. They're geniuses at it. They've got it down. They've mastered it. I have to teach them how to love like Christ. Teach them how to obey Christ. Teach them how to see their sin and repent from their sin and see how their sin affects them and God and the relationships they have around them. I have to help them see that they need a Savior. Because without that, there is no hope. This la-di-da, "Oh, my kids will figure it out whenever they grow up," parenting is wrong. This, "Oh, my kids will someday just get it and they'll figure life out." No, you're leaving them without hope. You may provide a great home with lots of finances and lots of things, but if you don't provide them the truth of the gospel, you leave them without hope, because without the gospel, there is no hope. And no wonder our society is how it is. Because where the marriage goes, the family goes. And where the family goes, society goes. And we have a society that has had parents who were believers who have not raised their children in the gospel. And you may have adult children here, but the time is not gone on your parenting and influence. Hear that. You are still their father, still their mother, and you can still impact them with the gospel. Verse 2 tells us to set your minds on the things that are above. Help them set their minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. And then in chapter 3, verse 5, still within our context of our verse, he says, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. And then he goes on to list all these earthly sinful behaviors. And yet, this is what our society pushes in front of our children as acceptable and good and a lifestyle and a way of being. There's no hope in sin. There's death and brokenness. And we've all encountered it. We've all experienced it. And so in our biblical parenting, in this call that Paul has for us to not discourage our children, we have to also see this. We have to help them in chapter 3, verse 10. Put on the new self. Something we have to be putting on, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. So Christ honoring fatherhood, and I'll even expand it to parenthood because in verse 20 he references parents as well. Christ honoring parenting does not discourage, but instead it encourages their children in Christ. The parents see their role as reflections of what Christ is doing in their life to be done in their children's lives. My job as a dad is to give hope to my children, helping them to have eyes to see, to have their eyes fully opened to the sin in their own life. And the only way they can see that is through me speaking it and role modeling it in my own life. I have to have eyes that are open to seeing my own sin and my own shortcomings and my own failures and my own weaknesses. The one thing that we teach men not to do is show your weakness, yet it is the one thing we need to role model to our children so that our Christ, our Savior, our God can manifest his life in their lives. They have to see us being transparent and being transformed. How many moms, how many dads do not reveal their struggles and talk about their weaknesses and talk about their failures? And then they never talk about their successes either. They never talk about what God's doing in their life and how he's changing them. Never talk about the power of the gospel that has set them free. They may be true in them, but they have no idea why you go to church. They have no idea why you worship and celebrate. They have no idea of the freedom that you have in Christ because you're silent about Christ in your life. So the big question is this. How can my kids, how can our children know and not be discouraged and lose heart by me reflecting Christ and Christ's work in my life? How can I be the kind of father whose children do not lose heart or become spiritless or sullen or discouraged? How can I help them be filled with hope in God and happiness? By showing them and teaching them who Christ is. When they are to obey all of our commands, it's not any random command that we're, but it's like our commands as a parent that we have in Christ. How we lead them in Christ. My mind needs to be on the things that are above and not on the things that are on earth. So the second thing that we look at and we observe here is he says, do not provoke your children. Fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. And what we notice in this commandment, it is while it's negative, it's something we are to avoid. The misuse of legitimate authority. The authority that the parent is given is in verse 20. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. That gives parents tremendous authority and responsibility under God. And children are to do what their parents are calling them to do. as their parents are leading in the Lord. But many times we have authority and we have authoritarianism. Authority is what God has given you to lead them and grow them and to be the one who instructs and guides. Authoritarian is then to come over them and to force it and to manipulate it and to manhandle it. God-given authority means we don't provoke our children to disheartened lives, but instead encourage. Do not cause them to lose hope. My wife and I used an illustration about a bowling alley when we describe our parenting to other parents. You're going to a bowling alley. Are you guys big bowlers? No, not at all. I stink at it. But it's a great metaphor because in a bowling alley, when you show up, you see all kinds of things going on. The purpose to be in there is to bowl. There is lanes set aside and designed for bowling. There are balls set aside for it, shoes you have to wear. There is a way of functioning within the bowling alley. And there's all kinds of things you can do within that room. There's the whole nacho bar and all the food that's going on and the horrible hot dogs that are spinning on that wheel. You've got all the music playing. You've got all kinds of arcade games and stuff. But in here, the purpose of being in this room is bowling. It's not basketball. It's not football. You're not to use the lanes as a slip and slide. You're not to run up and down and be crazy and all over the place. There is a way that you are supposed to function within the bowling alley. Now, there's freedom within the bowling alley. Stay within the freedom of the bowling alley, and you function well within the bowling alley. If you're not here to be about what we're about here in the bowling alley, then you're not a part of this bowling community. You wanna play football? Great. There's a field down the street. But we're all about bowling. That's what parenting is. When Christ says, I want you to be the authority, it's saying, here is the bowling alley. Now, I'm not going to walk alongside of each one of you at every stage as an adult and say, here, okay, now, this is the only ball you can have, and here's how you tie your shoe. I mean, we do that at a small degree as a parent, but what's the purpose? So that I ongoingly parent them in tying their shoes? No, so they can tie their own shoes. Here's a ball, here's how to throw it. What's the goal? So they can throw the ball themselves. Help them to experience the freedom in the bowling alley. In Christ, he's saying, I want to give you all of my kingdom. I want to give you all that I am. I have a design for your life. And there's all kinds of freedom within it, but this is my design for your life. He's the authority over it. You don't want to be a part of his way of doing things? There's the door. No, you're an authoritarian, you're a dictator because you won't let me play football in here. Well, we're not a football field. But I want to play football. That's not what we're doing here. Oh, you're a bully. Now, there are plenty of fathers who many of us have experienced who've been authoritarians. Heavy-handed. You do what I say because I say it. We never know what that is. We never experience what that freedom is because we're always being dictated to. But an authority, a parent, a godly parent is saying, here is what God is calling us to. Here is what the holiness of what God is calling us to. Here is the joy that is in the Lord. Here is what we are to be, finding freedom in Christ. Many of you have struggled with finding the freedom in Christ because you've had authoritarian parents, authoritarian figures in your life who dictated and bullied and abused their way through your life. And you never knew where love was. You never knew when you were stepping on a landmine in the home. You never knew what was going to upset them and trigger them and do whatever. But that is not how our Heavenly Father is. He is our authority. And He is Lord. But He calls you to experience the joy of the freedom in Christ. He calls you to encounter the love that is in Christ. He calls you to experience Him and to encounter Him and to walk in Him. This requires tremendous wisdom from us as fathers. Having a child and raising children We have to understand what to say no to and what to say yes to. Because so many of our no's can be discouragements. When you say no or yes, you need to know why. Why did I say no to that right now? Or why do you need to earn that? Or why do you need to wait on that? You need to show how the Heavenly Father clearly brings short-term things in your life, short-term no's or short-term delays, because there's a greater good. A statement that I learned a long time ago that I try to apply in a lot of areas in my life, in leadership and in parenting and everything, is whatever you say yes to, you say no to something else. Whatever you say yes to, you say no to something else. You better know what the yes is and the no is. If I say yes to this short-term thing, what's the long-term possible no's? What's it going to affect? How is it going to affect? If I say, yes, you can go out and play with all these random kids in the streets, I may be saying no to long-term life for you. Oh, you can go hang out with those kids. That's okay for you to do. I don't know those kids. I don't know where they've been, who they are, their parents, their families. I have no idea what I'm saying yes to. And many times Christ says yes to us and no to us. There are things he says yes to us because he wants to say no to all the sin and the destruction of this world. And there are many things God says no to because I'm saying yes to all the kingdom and the joy and the pleasure of knowing me as your Heavenly Father. A lot of times we see his no's and his yeses, and we don't understand. We don't look for that wisdom. So as fathers, we need to be those communicators of that yes and no. We need to be role modeling also, fathers. When we talk about this call, we talk about this call not to provoke your children, not to discourage your children. Is that means we are a part of the redeeming work of Christ in their life. We're representing the Father in their life. Redeeming means restorative work, which means as we let children go and to grow and to mature in Christ, and we're raising them up in this new identity in Christ, we have to be a part of the redeeming work of their life. The ministry of helping restore them in Christ as they will fail in Christ. And they will fail in Christ. So our discipline has to be redemptive. Punishment is revenge. Discipline is of the Lord. It's correcting. I remember when my eighth grade year in middle school, I really screwed up. I mean, I screwed up big time. I brought a knife to school. And if you don't know this, bringing a knife to school is a crime. Punishable by being arrested, having a record, and being kicked out of your school. All of those things happened to me. I had no idea what would happen by bringing. And I took my dad's knife, of all things. My dad had this gorgeous, huge, beautiful buck knife. And I really loved, you know, Crocodile Dundee, and that's a knife, you know. Thought I'd bring that to school, show it off. No, that didn't go so well with the administration. I was suspended. I was arrested. They didn't officially expel me. They just said, would you please go to another school? And I remember the dread of that failure in my life. To this day, I remember the tears of my mother. My mom was a school teacher at an elementary school just down the street. She knew everybody in that school, my middle school. I remember the fear and the dread of when my dad gets home. You ever had that fear? When dad gets home? I remember them sitting in their bedroom, and I could hear the heated voices. I could hear the upsetness. And all my dad came out and said, bet you ain't going to do that again, are you? No. Go to your room. I'm like, okay, when is it going to happen? What's the level of death that he is going to inflict on me? I know I screwed up. I feel it. I sense it. I can hear my mom's tears from my failure. And I went to sleep with that and was woken up in the morning by my father's voice saying, get up, get ready for school. My dad, were you not present in the conversation? I was kicked out of school. No, I'm putting you in a new school today. I'm like, oh, this is going to go well. Sitting in his truck, not saying a word because I had no idea whatever word I said, what was going to come out. My dad went into the principal's office, administrative office. I had to sit outside. There was this conversation that took place. I don't know what was said. But I was brought into that class, into that room with the principal. And my dad introduced me to the principal and began to say things like this. This is Brian. He's a good boy, and he messed up, and he knows he messed up. He's never going to do that again, and he's not going to do that in your school. My dad would go on to testify things about me, say things over me that he said were true of me to this stranger, this principal, and have this principal stand up and welcome me into their school and to treat me as if nothing had ever happened and to put me back on a path and put me back onto where I needed to be. See, my dad understood that what he said yes to was he was going to show me the redemptive work of Christ in my failure. He could punish me for my sin, or he could rename me and remake me in someone else's eyes and put me forward in following Christ. He set me on a new path of success when he could have let me sit in my failure. 14-year-olds have no impulse control, and they will mess up a lot. And all of us have had those failures where we have fallen short. But what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross is he redeemed you and me. Hear that about what our Heavenly Father has done for you. And fathers, what we need to be about with our sons and our daughters, and what us as parents need to be about with our community, and what we need to be about as a church is the redemptive work of Christ of restoring people back. We cannot be discouraging people with legalism and anger and flying off the cuff about whatever we want. We have to be on guard all the time, bringing forward the love and the grace and the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. And when we fail, we admit we fail. And when we mess up, we say, I'm sorry, Christ is still working this out in me. The greatest example my parents have ever been to me is to show me the work of Christ in confessing sins, confessing struggles. For me to go to my own children and say, I'm sorry, I overreacted in that. Shows them both my love and my respect for them, but still can hold them to accountability in struggles and failures. We are to be about the redemptive work of Christ, restoring our children to the Lord. That is what we are called to. 2 Corinthians 5:18 says, through Christ reconciled us to himself, he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Parents, we are called. Fathers, we are called to reveal the redeeming work of Jesus Christ to the world. This is what he has done for us. So today, I want you to rejoice that you do know the Father's love. If you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you have confessed with your mouth that he is your Lord and Savior, I'm a sinner, I've fallen short, I need his work, you know the redeeming work of our Lord. If you've been forgiven from your sins, you know how much he loves you. We are to be ambassadors of that love to our homes and our families. Rejoice if you know the one true God. Rejoice for the Father's love has been shown to you. For God so loved you that while you were still sinners, Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. So that we might be redeemed into a new creature, a new thing. That we might be a new person. That's the Father's love for us. You are new. Would you pray with me? Lord, I just thank you. I thank you for your word. This wasn't everything I was planning to say today, Lord, but whatever you put on my, I said. And so, Lord, right now, all of us need to think through how we view you as our Father. How do we know you as our Father? That you're not an authoritarian, but you are our authority. You're not our discourager, but our encourager. You are our great love. You have a great plan for us. A plan to know you, to walk in your joy and in your presence. If you're here this morning and you're struggling with this thing of the Father in your life, this concept of Him, this identity of Him in your life, give your pain to Him this morning. Give your earthly father's failures and abandonments and abuse to Him. And declare, Lord, I know you are not like this. Help me to know you, Heavenly Father. Help me to encounter you in my life. If you are here this morning and you've never given your life to our Heavenly Father, I want to ask that you just pray this prayer with me. Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for my sin. I believe you have made me clean and right. I believe I need to be saved. And I believe you are the Savior. I believe you are God. I give my life fully to you. Forgive me of my sin. Make me new. Restore me to the Father so that I might know your love in my life. That I might know your healing in my life. That I might know your redeeming work and living for you. If you prayed that prayer, you are a child of God today. If you prayed that prayer, you've given your life to Him today. May you be fully bathed in His love. I'm not going to ask you to do anything right now in this service, but after the service, if you prayed that prayer, come talk with me. If you're here today and you've prayed, Lord, I need your healing work in my life, know that He does love you and He is going to heal you. So, Lord, we just praise you this morning. We praise you for what you have done. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.